You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, coming to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make it a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for your triumphant church and for the privilege of being a part of it. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever our service is reaching, we pray the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every heart. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The Way of Truth singers are singing for us now about having our name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
If you own the riches of this world, if you had great treasure, what would the prophet rather have my name in heaven's book. I'd rather have my treasures up above.
I'd rather have my blessed Savior's love.
I'd rather
Our subject for today's broadcast, pure religion. And our text of scripture is found in the little book of James, chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Religion is the belief in a God or in a group of gods and organized system or beliefs, ceremonies, and rules used to worship a God or a group of gods. Now, I suppose you can say that even atheism is a religion. So there are many, many religions in the world. The world is full of religions. Many seem to think any religion, especially any called Christian, will do just so you are sincere. In the world of modern thinkers today, we are expected to accept various religions that are not even called Christians. James speaks of pure religion, and that sets it apart from all others. Let me repeat that. James speaks of pure religion, and that sets it apart from all others. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. When Paul went into Athens, he was on his second missionary journey, and he had been up at the upper part of what today is Greece, at Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, and then he came on down to Athens. And when Paul came into Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given over to idolatry. Now, some of the people took him up on Mars Hill to have him to elaborate on some things that he had said to them. And there on Mars Hill, Paul said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And Paul proceeded then to tell them of the true and the living God, the God that had created all things, the God who had formed man, and the man, the one who was giving to all the breath of life. God, we live, and it's in God that we live and move and have our being. So Paul told them there at Athens. And we know that without God, there could be and would not be any human life on this earth. In fact, without God, there wouldn't be any such thing as a world. And Paul let them know there was a true God, even though he was unknown to them. And he also informed them that the true God was not like gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. The God that he spoke of did not dwell in literal houses made of stone or brick. The true God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, Paul said. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. Some people said Paul was a vain babbler, and some of them said, well, now we want to hear you some more later on. Now, we also read in the book of St. John about a woman who came to the well in Samaria. Jesus had told his disciples that it was necessary for him to go through Samaria, and he came to Jacob's well, and there he rested, and he sent his disciples into the nearby town of Sychar to get something for them to eat. And while they were gone, here comes this woman at noontime, which was rather an unusual thing. But here came this woman to draw water. And Jesus struck up a conversation with her. And in that conversation, she said, our fathers worship in this mountain. Now, there was two mountains there. One was known as the Mount of Blessing. The other was known as the Mount of Cursing. And Joshua had gathered the Israelites there many years before and challenged them to choose the true and the living God, or the God that they would serve. And so the Samaritans went up on the mount called the Mount of Blessing. They built a temple up there, and they worshiped. Every year they had an animal sacrifice up there on that mountain. And that's what this woman was talking about when she said, our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's John chapter 4 and verse 20. And Jesus said to her, you don't know what you worship. We Jews know what we worship. And he said, the time is coming that not in this mountain nor at Jerusalem will you worship. For the Father seeketh such to worship him as will worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is still true today. If we're going to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Again, there's much religion, there's much worship in the world, but God only accepts pure religion, that worship which is in spirit and in truth. So we read in John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Now those who have pure religion are the only ones who can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now do not be offended at what I am saying, but again, the Father seeketh such to worship him as will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so those who have pure religion are the only ones who can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Again, the world is full of religions, but most people do not know what they are worshiping, just as Jesus told the woman there at the well in Samaria. Pure religion, when obtained, lifts man from his sinful state. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and from the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. So we read in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 13. Pure religion will take you off of the broad road which leads to destruction, and will put you on that straight and narrow way which leads to life eternal. Pure religion is not confined to a worship in a house of, or a church building. There is a life to be lived every day. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. So we read in Romans chapter 6, verses 12, 13, and 14. And notice what the Apostle Paul says here. We are to yield ourselves to God, our vessel, our instruments that are to be yielded to God and for God's use. And God has made it possible for us to be vessels for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Paul ends this passage of Scripture that I just read by saying, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Jesus said he would give us power over all the power of the enemy. He would never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Pure religion produces pure desires and pure holy lives, lives with a purpose. Yes, whenever you have Christ abiding in your heart, when you have pure religion, you have a real purpose for living. Life is indeed worth living whenever you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Where there is no supreme desire for God, there is no true religion. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. There may be true doctrine, there may be a moral outward life, and there may be an active social service, and even religious activity. But if God is not first in your life, your religion is not pure. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, and now this was a lawyer that asked this question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 and 37. Now, if we will do that, if we will truly love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will certainly have pure religion. Now, pure religion requires you to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so we must not love the world, we must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, Paul said, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Now, pure religion produces a pure people, a pure church. And I'm not speaking of self-righteousness or works of our own. I'm talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us when he saves us from a life of sin, when he takes us out of that horrible pit, when he takes us off of that broad road and puts us on that straight and narrow way, that highway of holiness that Isaiah spoke about. So a pure religion produces a pure people, a pure, true people, and a true church. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he said, every branch in me beareth fruit. But if they do not bear fruit, then he said, I'll take them away. So pure religion produces pure fruit. And we read in the Bible about those that are true and the kind of fruit that they bear. Love, faith, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, and so forth. And that's the kind of fruit you bear whenever you have pure religion. Make sure you have the religion of the New Testament, the Bible, for it is pure. It takes pure religion to have eternal life and a home in heaven. Heavenly Father, bless these scriptures and thoughts to this precious people today. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelled, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of I glory God, my Jesus, you see, for glory.
We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number, 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. And you can also listen to a previous broadcast if you would like to hear it again, or if you've missed one. We have an archive of both our magazine and our broadcast, www.wayoftruth.org. Also, we invite you, if at all possible, to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service begins at 7. And you are invited to be a part of our congregation, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being with us today, and we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be bringing you another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
Once I was bound by sin's holy fetters, sin I was saved by struggle in vain, but I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom.
Jesus, the glorious.
by the